Well, once again, it is Mother's Day, and if many of you look around, you can literally see answered prayers. You can see your children and grandchildren who you probably prayed for before they were even born and have prayed for every day since. And it's good to celebrate that and contemplate the goodness of God and His generosity to us. Mother's Day can also be hard for many women. It can be hard for women who have prayed for a child, and yet through circumstances or biology, they have remained childless. It can also be hard for mothers who have had kids, and yet who have watched their kids go astray, suffer from illness of some kind, even lost children. Throughout the series on the Living God, we have taken time to celebrate how God works and listens to our prayers. And it's good for us to testify and celebrate when God has answered our prayers. But it is dishonest to not talk about unanswered prayers. And it's something the church really doesn't talk that much about. We talk about the times where we prayed and we saw God move, and then we kind of just either try to forget about or push to the side those times when we prayed and something just didn't happen. And we kind of ignore those because we don't know how those fit with our faith. With all the things we say we believe about our good and loving God, we just don't know what to do. We don't understand these things, and so we ignore them and avoid them. But today we want to talk about unanswered prayers. I want to be honest about this reality that all of us have experienced at some point in our Christian walk, where we've prayed and it hasn't happened and we've wondered why. And I don't think that this conversation is going to diminish at all any of the other things we've talked about throughout this series on prayer. In fact, I think we have learned that prayer is at heart is about our connection to the living God, and that this conversation about unanswered prayers will take us deeper into the heart of the living God. And so what I want to offer to you this morning is that unanswered prayers are an invaluable part of our faith journeys. If we let them draw us deeper into the mystery of God and of God's purposes for us and for the world. And so we want to take these unanswered prayers that we put in the dark and hide in our back closets, and we want to bring them out into the light this morning, and we want to try to understand them a little more. You see, a lot of times when we don't understand something, we do try to put it away, but there is this theologian and scholar back in the 1000s, 1100s named Anselm, and he said that faith seeks understanding. So we don't understand something, we don't shove it away and try to ignore it. We seek knowledge. We seek wisdom. We seek guidance. And so I want to begin talking about unanswered prayers by looking at three texts from the scriptures that give us pictures of unanswered prayers and why those prayers may have been unanswered. The first text is Isaiah 1, chapter 12 through 20. And in this passage, you have the people of Israel, God's people, God's covenant people, those who had received all of God's promises, and things aren't going so well. And yet, they are worshiping, they are praying, they are coming, and they're singing, they're bringing their offerings, they're bringing oftentimes lavish offerings, and giving them to God, and saying, God, we're worshiping, we're praying, why aren't you answering our prayers? And what we find in this text is that all of their prayers and all of their worship and all of their offerings aren't being done out of gratitude, aren't being done as a sign of their deep relationship with God. They're being done to manipulate God, to bend God to their desires. I don't know if any of you have ever prayed like that. I have. I prayed, God, hey, I'm serving you. I'm doing all the right things. Why aren't you answering this prayer? Have you ever prayed like that? Okay, I see some nods. Thank you for your honesty. I appreciate that. It's this kind of magical view of prayer where if I do this, then God will do what I want, will give me what I want. And so for all of the religious stuff they're doing, they're not listening. They're not engaging in relationship with God. And as we began this series, that's what we said the heart of prayer is relationship with God. That's not what they're doing when they're praying. That's not what they're doing when they're worshiping. That's not what they're doing when they're bringing their gifts. And so, this is what God says. And you may not have heard this scripture before, and you may not want to hear the scripture, but listen. God says, even though you make many prayers, I will not listen. I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. For all of the religious acts the people were doing, they were not abiding in the love of God, and they weren't sharing that with others. They were complicit and perpetrators of injustice and all kinds of other things that God had led them away from. And so the reason for this unanswered prayer is sin. Sometimes the reason for our unanswered prayers is our own sin. And maybe that sin is simply treating God like a vending machine, where if I put the quarters in, I expect something out. Or dollar bills, or whatever things cost these days, right? And so that is the problem. That is the reason this prayer is going unanswered. And the response then, as God says, is repentance. If the reason is sin, the response is repentance. He says, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. So wash yourselves, make yourselves clean, remove the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil, learn to do good, seek justice, rescue the oppressed, defend the orphan, plead for the widow. All of these things they weren't doing, now it's time to turn back to God and to live in his wisdom and his goodness. And now if God had kept answering their prayers, if God had kept giving them what they want, they never would have stopped to listen to this call to repentance, this call to turn back to God. Ultimately, this call of hope that God could forgive them and God could lead them back in the right way. And so the reason for this unanswered prayer is sin, and their response, the invitation, is repentance, to turn back to God. So that's the first reason, that's the first text, but it's not the only one. Okay? Our next text is what Kathy read earlier, is from 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And in this scripture, Paul, we know Paul, author of a lot of the New Testament, Paul, a faithful guy, had received this special vision or revelation. He says he was called up into the third heaven. He had some special spiritual experience of God. And when he came back down and out of this experience, he says, to keep me from being too elated, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from being too elated. So Paul has this thorn in the flesh, and we don't know what it is, but what we do know is that Paul prayed at least 3 times for God to take it away. It was a big enough deal that Paul prayed 3 times. We talked last week about circling. Paul circled that thorn. He said, I'm going to circle that thorn. God, take it away. I'm calling on your promises. I'm calling on your blessing. Take this thorn away from me. And it didn't happen. It didn't happen. But God does say, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. So in this case, the reason for the unanswered prayer is to develop character. In Paul's case, he says, to keep me from being too elated, to keep me from being too puffed up and proud. Puffed up is one of those words Paul uses sometimes. To keep me from being too puffed up, God gave me this thorn to develop his character. And the response then, if our prayers are not being answered because God is developing our character, the response then is to rest in the sufficiency of God's grace. So if there's sin in our lives, then the response is repentance. If the reason is that God is developing character, then the response is to rest in the sufficiency of God's grace. So I can say that, you know, whether God, we believe this, but we don't always act like it. That whether God gives me what I want or what God doesn't give me what I want, I have all I need in the grace of Jesus Christ. And sometimes we need to not get what we want so that that attitude, so that that spirit becomes a part, a deeper part of our souls. So we might need to repent, we might need to rest in God's grace. And then the third text we're going to look at is Jesus himself. And so if you think that sin is always the reason for unanswered prayers, we're going to look at Jesus and his unanswered prayer. This is Matthew 26, and Jesus is sitting in the Garden of Gethsemane. And in just a few minutes, he's going to be arrested, but he is pouring out his heart in prayer. And in verse 39, he says, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me." And the cup was the suffering. The suffering he knew he was about to endure. He says, "Take this away. Find another way. If it's possible, God, take away this suffering." And yet we know that within 24 hours, Jesus had been arrested. And Jesus had been tried and condemned and beaten and crucified. Jesus' prayer, he prays three times too. He circled it. He circled that suffering and said, "God, take it away." And yet, he ends up on the cross. So the reason for this unanswered prayer is that God was unlocking a greater purpose through his suffering. As we know, it was through the cross that we experience forgiveness, salvation. It's through the cross and the resurrection that came next that we experienced resurrection in which God claimed victory over sin and death. And so when we ask that question, when our prayers aren't being answered and we say, "God, why aren't you fixing this?" It may just be that God is calling us to enter into the suffering, to bring healing, to bring hope, to bring victory for the sake of others. And so in this case, if the reason is that God is unlocking a greater purpose through whatever it is that we are suffering, then the response is that we resolve. We resolve to take up the cross and to engage in suffering for the good of others, for the good of the world. As Jesus prays, "Yet not what I want, but what you want for the sake of others." So when our prayers go unanswered, it might be because of sin, and so we repent. It might be because of God is developing character, and so we rest in God's grace. And it might be because that God is unlocking some greater purpose, and so we resolve to take up our cross and follow Jesus. But this list is not by any means meant to be exhaustive. There are only three R's I could come up with. It's just a starting point for us to engage with our unanswered prayers, because it can be dangerous for us, for ourselves and for other people, when we try to pinpoint just why it is that our prayers and other people's prayers aren't being answered. You know, sometimes if someone else's prayers isn't being answered, we'll say, "Oh," and some churches say this, maybe you've heard this preached and said, it's because you're sinning. There's sin in your life. That's why God isn't answering your prayers. And we can always see, we don't see it when it's us, but when it's someone else, we're like, "Oh, well, this is why your prayers aren't being answered." And it may be sin, but it may not be sin. I always want to say to those people who think everything is because of sin, did you read the book of Job? Because the whole point is Job's friends come in and they say, "All this bad stuff is happening to you because you have sin in your life." And we know that that's not why it is. Okay, so sin might be a reason, but it might not be the reason too. Or maybe someone has suffered a tragedy in their lives. And sometimes we want to, because we're uncomfortable, because we don't know why, we don't know what to do with it, we'll say, "Oh, it's all a part of God's plan." And if you've been through a tragedy, sometimes that can just be, "Oh, ouch. That doesn't help. oftentimes that hurts. And it hurts because what we're doing is trying to put their tragedy into our system. To have their thing fit our rule of why prayers go unanswered, of why bad things happen. And unanswered prayers are not to be jammed into some theological system. Unanswered prayers are invitations into deeper relationship. Unanswered prayers are invitations to explore more deeply the mystery of God and God's mysterious purposes for our lives and for the world. As the author of Ecclesiastes says, in the day of prosperity, be joyful. When all your prayers are being answered, be joyful. Celebrate, absolutely. And in the day of adversity, consider. Consider. Love that verse. When your prayers aren't being answered, that's a time to stop and consider, to reflect, to ask, to draw. Let God draw you deeper into his mystery. In the day of prosperity, be joyful. In the day of adversity, consider. So friends, we need to learn the principles of circle making that we talked about last week. Where we find some in our neighborhood or someone in our lives that needs prayer, and we literally either walk around it or circle it on a piece of paper, and we pray strategically, and we pray boldly, we pray specifically. So a few of us went to the National Day of Prayer service this week down in South Toledo, and there were, I don't know how many people, hundreds of people there, and we just drew a circle around the greater Toledo area, and they said there's 507,643 people in the greater Toledo area, and we are praying that God would bring his salvation on all of those, to bear on all of those people's lives. And so we circled it, we prayed boldly, we prayed specifically. And at the same time, I also understand that there are reasons that many of us don't pour out our hearts in prayer. That some of us may be afraid to pray boldly and specifically and to call on God for something day after day. And that reason may be that we have been disappointed when we've prayed. That we have experienced unanswered prayers. And we might be a little nervous to go back out on that limb because it's broken on us before. We have prayed, and yet we have lost loved ones to their battles with cancer. We have prayed, and the potential employer never called. We've prayed, and our spouse has never come to admit that they have a problem with alcohol or drugs. We have prayed, and the pregnancy test never turned positive. We've prayed, and the bullying didn't stop. We've prayed, and our friend or our son or our daughter never could accept God's love for them and God's purpose for their lives. All of those unanswered prayers, though, friends, are invitations to go deeper into the mystery of God, to explore that mystery on the next level. And ultimately, and this is hard to believe when we're in the midst of it, all of those unanswered prayers are part of God's desire to fulfill his promises in your life in deep ways. That if your unanswered prayer is leading you to repent of sin, it's because God wants to fulfill his promise of forgiveness and restoration in your life. If your unanswered prayer is leading you to rest and is developing your character, it's because God wants to fulfill his promise to you that his grace is enough. If that unanswered prayer is leading you to resolve to take up your cross and suffer on behalf of others, to die with Christ, it's because God wants to fulfill his promise to raise you with Christ and to bring salvation to others through you. God is taking all of our prayers, answered and unanswered, and using them for our good and for His glory, to sculpt us into images of Christ, to work out redemption in our lives, to build His new creation upon the resurrection of Jesus, to fulfill each and every one of His promises in God's good and perfect timing. And so this morning, I cannot explain to you or give you a rule to understand yourself why God has answered some of your prayers and not others. Why God seems to answer all of some people's prayers but not yours. It's not my job, that's not our job to figure out exactly why it is. But I do want to encourage you this morning that your unanswered prayers are an invitation to go deeper into the mystery of the living God. And to discover for yourself just how high and wide and long and deep is the love of Christ that surpasses all knowledge. Let's pray. Loving and gracious God, give us the courage to be honest about our unanswered prayers, to be honest about our frustrations and disappointments. Frankly, to be honest with the ways that you have let us down, at least in our view. And we pray that you would take us on a journey deeper into your mystery to see how we can respond when our prayers are answered and when they're unanswered, so that the world may more clearly see your grace at work in our lives and through us. We pray it all in the name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Our prayer practice this week is prayer journaling. How many of you have a prayer journal or have prayer journaled in the past? Some of you have? Okay. I'm not going to give you an exact way of doing it. There's lots of ways we might do this. The key is that you are finding some way to express your prayers in a way that you can come back to later. Okay? So that might be, you know, daily, just writing out your prayers. For some people, that's really helpful. And if you have trouble focusing during prayer, incidentally, prayer journaling can be a real help because it keeps you focused on the words you're writing on the page. It's harder for your mind to wander. But you might write them all out. You might just put a couple bullet points of the things that you're praying. Or this might be an opportunity for you to practice the prayer circling that we did last week. We didn't really give you an example last week, so I want to give you one this week. These are my prayer circles. So I have a personal prayer. So for me, it was a deeper prayer life. Okay, a prayer for loved ones. So in this case, it's a friend's marriage. And if I were doing this for myself, I would be even more specific. I would put their names down. For society and for the world, for racial justice and reconciliation, okay? So those are the things I circled in prayer this week. And by circling them, the idea is that I'm calling God's blessing on that place, on that thing, very specifically. And what you'll be able to do then, if this is how you want to pray or journal, if you want to use circling, it's something that you can go back to later and see, or you might pray for them day in and day out and keep those circles there. And later on, you might go back and see what you were praying for. And then, the idea is that at some point in the future, you'll go back and look at your prayers, whether they were written or circled or whatever, however you did it, and just notice what were the prayers that God answered in great ways where you say, oh, I'm so grateful for that, and be joyful. Remember in the day of, what was it, day of prosperity, be joyful and you celebrate those. You might go back and see some prayers that you're like, God didn't really answer that prayer. I still haven't seen an answer to that prayer. And that's your time to consider and to go deeper into the mystery. For some of them, you might see the unanswered prayer and be like, oh, why? I see very clearly why God didn't answer that prayer, and thank God He didn't, because I didn't know what the heck I was praying for at that point. Some of us have prayers like that, right? But it might be something that requires you to just go bring it into God's presence and say, God, why isn't that prayer being answered in my life? What are you doing here? Take the invitation. And so part of it is the journaling part. But really, the fruit of this practice isn't going to be something you're going to experience this week unless you've already kept a prayer journal. So what I want you to do also, in addition to doing your prayer journal, is to put a date on your calendar, in your phone or whatever. You could do it this morning, where you're going to go back and look at your prayer journal. Thanksgiving is a great time to do that. New Year's might be a really good time to go back onto your prayer journal for the year or for years past and go through and reflect on how God has answered or not those prayers. But take time to do it. We're going to take just a couple minutes here. You can use page 6 of your worship folder to circle prayers or to write out a couple that are the desire of your heart. And then we're going to bring our prayerful hearts to the communion table. So let's take a few moments to reflect and pray in God's presence. Gracious and all-wise God, we ask that you would take these prayers, and however you choose to respond, may we be drawn more deeply into the mystery of your grace, of your love, of your good purposes for us and for this world. Amen.